Well, if you would get out your copy of God's Word and open with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, if you did not bring your Bible this morning, then I encourage you to find a Bible in under one of the seats around you and open to 836. And Mark chapter 1 should be found on page 836 in that Bible. Mark chapter 1, we'll begin reading again in verse 16. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. When we come to Mark chapter 1, 16, this section, we see that Jesus is calling the first of his disciples. And Mark places the call of these four men immediately after Jesus' declaration that the kingdom of God was at hand, because he is beginning to give the evidence that Christ's authority within the kingdom of God as he calls them to follow. Like anyone who desires to be a legalized citizen of the United States who must follow the guidelines laid out by the governing bodies, our government, then anyone who wants to be a citizen of the kingdom of God must also follow Christ. So following Christ is the means by which kingdom citizenship is obtained. See, Jesus didn't come just to proclaim the arrival of God's kingdom. He came to reveal God's kingdom through his life and to make entrance into the kingdom available through his death and resurrection. His person and his purpose elevate his call to follow him to a higher level. This wasn't a call to follow an ordinary teacher. It was a call to follow the Son of God. It wasn't a call to be a part of an earthly kingdom. It was a call to be a part of God's kingdom. To follow Christ would be nothing like what their culture had taught them about being a disciple or being a follower of a teacher. And for us, it's important to understand this call to follow because Jesus is still calling people to be citizens of God's kingdom. He is still calling men and women to follow him even today. But if we're going to follow Christ, we need to understand that this call is a call to something very different than anything that we have experienced before. So this morning, I want to begin to unfold the characteristics of the call of Christ as they are revealed in this text. And we'll only get through one today. And the first characteristic that we're going to look at this morning is foundational to the rest. And that is this, that a call to follow Christ is a call to a life of faith. A call to follow Christ is a call to a life of faith. Though these men knew who Jesus claimed to be, it is still very early in his ministry. Both Peter and Andrew were disciples of John the Baptist. They were present when John pointed to Christ and proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God. However, in that day, there were many people who claimed to be sent from God. There were many who even claimed to be the Messiah. As well, Jesus didn't have a large following at this time, and he had not performed any miracles. So they're following not because of what they have seen Jesus do or because they know for certain what lies ahead. They're following because of who they believe Jesus to be. They are leaving the life that they know and are comfortable with to begin a life that they are unfamiliar with. So when Jesus comes to them and he tells them to follow him, they do so as an act of faith. But this is just the beginning. Their trust in Christ will be challenged all throughout his ministry and for the rest of their lives. They would soon begin to understand that a life of faith would now be the norm. See, to follow Christ requires that we fully place our trust in him. I think sometimes we think that, at least live as though, following Christ means that we place our faith in him for salvation only. In other words, we come to Jesus, we recognize that he died on the cross for our sins, he was raised from the grave, and so placing your faith in Christ or to follow Christ is to place your faith in him for salvation, and then we just kind of wait until heaven comes along. And certainly salvation begins when we place our faith in Christ. You cannot have salvation apart from that, apart from placing your faith in his work on the cross. But to follow Christ is a commitment to a lifetime of following. For following Christ is a daily test of your trust in who he has said he is and what he has promised. If you have come to Christ thinking that life is going to be easy, if you've come thinking that God is going to explain himself at every turn, make sense of all of life for you, then you're going to be disappointed. Following Christ is not trusting him for salvation only. As we talked about last week, following Christ requires you to submit fully to his will, and following his will requires you to trust him daily, moment by moment. So there is a faith that is for salvation, but then there is a faith that is necessary as you walk through this life. We don't just say, yes, I trust you for salvation, but the rest of my life is my own. You just make sure that you take care of me when I die, or make sure that I get to go to heaven when Christ returns. No, to follow Christ, to say that I'm going to follow Christ, is a commitment to a lifetime of faith, a daily, moment by moment, putting your trust in Christ. And we see this time and time again as Jesus leads his disciples into situations they don't want to be in or that they don't understand. Each instance, he is challenging their faith. He presses them to choose whether to trust their paradigm of life or to trust him in this new kingdom paradigm that he is introducing to them. And he does this because it is through trusting him that they are going to find true life. He was preparing them for what was to come. However, for us, Jesus's call to follow is a call to place our faith in what has already occurred, in that which has already taken place. Faith to follow is a faith that is grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your faith to follow Christ is grounded in your faith in the gospel of Christ. The work that Christ has already accomplished for us through his death and through his resurrection. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to understand the relationship between the gospel and a life of faith. And this begins with an understanding of what faith is. And so many of you, if you've been in church any amount of time, you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us, verse 1, gives us the definition of faith. However, to get an accurate understanding of what the author of Hebrews is saying, we have to look back at chapter 10. We have to get the context in which this definition of faith is giving. So look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. The author of Hebrews says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So now he's going to use an Old Testament text to show this. "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous," that's you and I, "my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." So in the midst of persecution, the author is encouraging them not to throw away their confidence in the promise that God has given them. They should remain faithful and not shrink back. And how are they to do this? Well, they're to do this by trusting that God's promise of a better everlasting possession at the return of Christ will be theirs. Trust in God's promise and live accordingly. Live by faith. And so it is in this context that he tells them then what faith is. So here they are, they're living under persecution, and he says, don't throw away your confidence. God has given you a promise that you have a reward, that you have something better than what this life offers you. And so hang on, because that reward is coming. You can't see that reward, but by faith you trust in the promise that God is going to give you that reward at the return of Christ. So it's faith that causes them or allows them to hold on to the promise of God. And so then he comes and he says, this is what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith is the conviction that even though we cannot yet see the fulfillment of what God has promised, we can live confidently as though it has already occurred in our life. Faith is the substance of what cannot be seen or held or experienced. When life becomes a choice between what is offered by the world that you can see and what is promised by God but you can't see it, faith sees God's promise for us. And he gives us an example. No one saw God create everything out of nothing. How many in here this morning were there when God created the world? All right, none of us. Obviously, nobody was there when God said, let there be light. When God created the plants and the animals, when God brought out of nothing all things into existence. Yet, why would we order our lives as if that is how everything came into being? But we live that way because we have faith in God, or at least we should be living that way because we have faith in God. We trust that what he says about creation is true. Our trust in God gives substance to what is impossible for us to experience, which was God speaking all things into existence. So we order our lives as though God is creator because we put our faith and trust in God, and so we say, I will trust the one who created all things, even though I wasn't there to see it happen. However, faith in God is not just a leap into the dark. Some of us think that faith in Christ is we don't see anything. It's just we're on the top of a cliff. It's dark and we have no clue what's down there and we're just supposed to just jump in. That's not the case. There is something that bolsters our faith, reinforces our assurance, supports our conviction. And that is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. All throughout Hebrews, all throughout the New Testament, really all throughout the Old Testament, God points to Christ as the object of our faith. Even in the Old Testament, they were putting their faith in God in one who would come. And all throughout the New Testament, we place our faith in Jesus. We look back to him. For the Christian, we've placed our eternal soul and therefore our eternal existence in God's hand by trusting that Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection will save us from the wrath of God. However, our faith doesn't end at salvation. Living by faith is a further expression of our full confidence in who Christ is and all God has promised through him. If we have come to Jesus believing he was sent by God to redeem us, that his sacrifice is the only means of salvation for man, then each time we follow him, we're reaching back to that original act of faith and we are expressing it afresh and anew in our lives. Every time we step out in faith, we're saying Jesus can be trusted. And we believe he can be trusted in any circumstance because he has saved us from the wrath of God through his death and resurrection. So the gospel becomes the starting point, and every time we're challenged, we look back to the gospel and we find we can trust God for salvation. We can trust God in this situation. The work of Christ that brought salvation is the foundation for our confidence to follow Christ wherever it is that he leads. Every one of you came in this morning. You found a chair and you plopped down in your chair. When you plopped down in that chair, you placed your full weight of trust in that chair. It would probably be safe to say this morning that no one came up to the chair, pressed on it, wondered whether or not the chair was going to hold them up. That you just came down, found the seat that you probably normally sit in, and you sat down. You didn't even think about, is this chair going to hold me up? Is this chair going to support me? As a matter of fact, when is the last time you actually thought about whether a chair is going to support you before you sat down? It's probably been a while. Why? Because all through your life, you have seen and you have experienced that four legs under a square frame gives support. And so in some ways, every time that you sit down in a chair, it is a reflection of that trust the first time that you sat down in a chair. Because it held you up, you learned, yeah, I can trust a chair. And so every time now you sit down, you don't even have to think about it. Sitting is just a part of your life. Think about the times that you sit in chairs and you never even think about sitting down in a chair. Every time you go to a restaurant or have a meal around your table. Every time you sit down at the office. Every time you sit on a park bench. Every time you sit down in here. Wherever you go, there's a seat. 99.9 times, I promise you, you go to sit down. You don't even think about it. It's just a part of life. You put the full weight of your trust in that chair. This is how following Christ should be. In every situation of life, you should without hesitation place the full weight of your trust in Christ. And you can do this with confident assurance because He has proven Himself trustworthy through the work of salvation. Christ showed Himself to be trustworthy when He died on the cross and He rose from the grave to save you from the wrath of God. This is why persevering to the end is evidence of true salvation. Each act of faith is proof you have actually placed your faith in the hands of Christ. However, if you shrink back, if you deny Christ as you live your life, it's evidence that you don't truly believe that that Christ can be trusted. You're denying the character of Christ. You're denying the power of the gospel that you have confessed to be transformational in your life. Listen, if you can trust Him with your day, if you can't trust Him with your day-by-day living, how can you say that you've trusted Him with your soul? If you can't trust where Christ is following you, if you can't trust Him in your day-to-day living and the decisions that you are making, those are small compared to your soul. How can you say that I've entrusted my soul, I've entrusted my eternal existence to Christ, but yet now I'm not willing to trust Him in the day-to-day activities? However, if you have trusted Him with your soul, if you have placed your faith in Him and said, Christ, I am entrusting my full self to You so that You will save me from the wrath of God, that when I die, You will take me to be with You, then it only follows that you can and will trust Him with your everyday living. The faith that saves is the faith that sustains. A call to follow Christ is a call to a life of faith in the person and the work of Christ. The gospel is foundational to your living in every way. When you have said, yes, Jesus, save me, I trust You to save me, that has enabled you, allowed you now each day, each step away from that day of salvation to say, I still trust You, I still trust You, I still trust You. And if you've been saved even for 75 years, that gospel in your life, that time, that decision that you made to say yes to Jesus and put your full weight of trust in Him is the foundation even now for your daily living. You can be assured that Christ can be trusted in whatever you are going through right now because He was trustworthy to save you. And so what does this mean for our lives? Well, if you've placed your faith in Christ for salvation, then you've been empowered to follow Him in your life. If you have put your faith and trust in Christ for salvation, then you have everything that is necessary for your life to be lived in a godly way, life and godliness, to follow Him wherever He goes. and He leads. Some of you this morning are struggling to live a life of faith. The things of this world that you can see distract you and pull your attention away from the promises of God that you cannot see. Maybe you're discouraged this morning, wondering if you're missing something. Am I the only one that struggles? Why is it so hard for me? Well, first, let me say that you're not alone. Everyone has room to grow when it comes to living by faith in Christ. That is what growth is. It is trusting Christ with more and more and more and more of your life, giving Him everything. Everybody has room to grow. But second, let me tell you, if you have placed your faith in Christ for salvation, you can live a life of faith in Christ. Yes, your faith needs to be exercised, but you've not been cast aside by God because your faith is weak. Forgiveness is available to you in the same way it was available to Peter, who in a display of weakness denied Christ. And God desires for you to come to Him by faith in humble repentance so that He can begin to build your faith to show that He is trustworthy. He wants you to cry out to Him and ask Him to build your trust in Him. But on a more practical level, you can begin to build your faith by using the tools that God has already given. First, build upon the foundation of your faith, the gospel. Build upon that foundation that is already there. Reflect upon why you entrusted yourself to Christ in the first place. When was the last time that you began to think about your salvation experience? Did you begin to walk through the situation and the circumstances that were surrounding that? Why you actually gave yourself to Christ? What was it that caused you to say, I'm going to give everything of myself over to Christ? Did you fully trust Him then? Why would you stop fully trusting Him now? Did He disappoint you then? Did He somehow say that He was going to save you, but fell short? Are the promises that He's given you not come true? Has He in some way, in any way in your life, not been faithful to do everything that He said He would do through His death and resurrection, through His work on the cross? And I promise you the answer is no. And so as you begin to reflect upon the gospel and you begin to see what that means in your life, that Christ died for you, He has transformed you, He has done a work in you to save you just as He promised, then just as He promised to lead you and to guide you and to direct you, you can trust Him. Build your faith by looking at the gospel, seeing what the gospel means and what the declaration of the gospel is from God to you. But second, get into the Word. Read your Bible. Be daily. Spend time daily before God, reading His Word and what He says. Improve your sight. See, when you are consistently in the Word of God, you're consistently looking at the acts of God, which then declare the character of God. And that is what builds your faith in Christ. You cannot expect to have a strong, thriving faith if you're not daily in the Word of God, allowing it to point you to the person and the work of Christ. Every page of this Bible points you to the faithful act of God to send His Son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Every page on this Bible points to the trustworthiness of God as He led His people, and in doing so was leading them and pointing them to one who was to come. And so if you don't spend time in the Word, then you don't know about the God that you say that you love and that you trust. And so as you come to the Bible, it gives you sight, so that when you're out there in the real world and the world is giving you everything and tempting you with everything that you can see, then your mind and your heart begins to reflect back on the promises of God, on the trustworthiness of God, on the character of God, on the person of God, and it gives sight to your faith. No, I can trust God, because here's what it says in His Word. Here's how He has proved Himself over and over and over and time again and time again and time again without fail. So the Word of God and being in the Word of God on a daily basis builds your faith. What else does this mean? Well, when we let Christ lead, it means the burdens of life are lifted off of you and placed on Him. When you follow Christ, when you allow Him to lead in your life, then the burdens of your life are now placed on Him. Christ hasn't called you to follow Him because He has an authority complex. The Son of God spoke the world into existence. He has no need to prove His power or His authority. See, the call to follow Christ is a call to new life. Christ wants to give you true life, a life that is abundant. The abundant life that He promises is one of joy and peace and of love, a life that is under the care of God, the God of this universe. You're not losing by letting Christ lead. You're gaining by allowing Him to lead. So you can trust that following Christ is best for you because He has proven emphatically that He loves you and wants what is best for you. And He has done this when He died on the cross in your place. So Jesus says, listen, I want you to follow Me because following Me brings true, abundant life. And He says, I want to show you how much I love you. And I'm going to go and I'm going to die on the cross so that you can have this life that I am offering you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. See, the reason your burden is lifted when you follow Christ is because He carries the weight and the responsibility of leading. So He's the one that's guiding and directing you through all of life. And so when you don't understand, you can't comprehend, that's okay. That shouldn't be your burden. He's the one that led you there. His burden is light. You can, by faith, trust in His promises. He takes the lead in the dance of life. You don't have to worry about what step to take. You don't have to worry about where to go. When you follow Christ, you can know that He is graciously and lovingly taking you through life to places that are for your good. And this leads to the final application this morning. And that is, if we are following Christ's lead, if you are following Christ's lead, then your life situations are part of God's purpose and plan to complete the work He began in you. If this morning you are following Christ's lead, then you can be assured that your life situations, your moment-by-moment life, wherever you find yourself right now this morning, you can be assured that that is part of God's purpose and plan to complete the work that He began in you. God saved you unto Himself. He isn't now going to cast you aside and let you flounder through life. The gospel tells us that we can trust that God has a plan and a purpose for all that He allows in our lives. This means that we can have confidence that wherever He leads, it's for our good and for His glory. So that boss at work that continues to give you a hard time, he is no longer just a nuisance that you deal with through determination and a stiff upper lip. Your boss has a purpose in your life that is far greater and goes way beyond just making you miserable every day. He's being used by God to test and to strengthen your faith. Have you ever stopped complaining about your boss long enough to actually look inside your heart to try to figure out what maybe God is trying to do through your boss? What God is trying to accomplish through allowing you to be there? Are you trusting yourself by gritting your teeth and grinding it out, telling yourself you can make it? Maybe inadvertently you're trusting your coworkers because at your lunch hour you spend time on stress relief as you gripe about your boss and receive probably what's ungodly counsel in your life. Instead of trusting yourself or others, let me encourage you this morning to begin acting in faith as a follower of Christ. God gave you the job that you have. He placed your boss over you. All authority is from God. It is no surprise to God that your boss is who he is or acts the way that he acts. So first, recognize and trust that a good, wise, and sovereign God has a purpose for following or for allowing you to be in the situation that you are in. Do you trust that a sovereign God who is over your boss and over your life has placed you where you are, and that in that situation, as difficult as it may be, because he's sovereign and wise and good, he can use it for your good and his glory? That is walking by faith. Once you trust God has a purpose, then begin to examine your own heart and see what is it that God is trying to do in your life. Maybe God's trying to produce patience in your life. Maybe God is wanting to produce kindness or gentleness or graciousness in you. He's trying to reveal in you some areas that you are not being obedient to him, or you're not trusting him, and he's saying, trust me in this. Respond rightly in this situation. But you say, wait a minute, how am I supposed to respond in a kind and gracious manner to a person who is always mean and callous towards me? Well, on your own, you can't. And that is where faith to follow Christ is necessary. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he was not treated fairly. He was falsely accused. He was made fun of. He was physically abused. However, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, that when Christ was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But instead, he continued in trusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ trusted that the Father would deal justly with his false accusers and those who abused him. So instead of responding in like manner, he graciously cries out from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Jesus becomes our example, both in faith and in action. Because the Father came through for Christ, you can trust that because you are his in Christ, the Father will deal justly and with all who come against you. Even your boss. One day your boss will have to stand before God and give an account for the way that he treated you. Are you trusting that God is going to deal with him? That God is going to judge justly? And because of the transformation that has taken place through the gospel in your life, you've been empowered to respond as Christ responded. This isn't, oh, I'll never be able to respond that way. This isn't, oh, I don't know how I'm going to respond graciously. No, you can respond graciously. Why? Because that is the power of the gospel in you. That is what the work of Christ on the cross did. If you've placed your faith, has come in and given you a new heart, a heart that has been enabled to obey him. And this is true whether we're talking about your boss or your spouse or your finances or your health or even a flooded neighborhood or house. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you can trust that Christ has led you there, that there is a purpose for it, there is a reason, and God is working that in your life. He is using that in your life for your good and for his glory. Knowing that God loves you and has a purpose for all that he does means that to follow Christ, no matter where he leads, is going to bring your good and going to bring God's glory, and therefore you can, by faith, trust even in the midst of your circumstance. Let me ask you this morning, are you following Christ? For some of you this morning, you have heard the call of Christ and you have answered yes. You have put your faith and your trust in Christ, and you are daily depending upon him. My prayer for you is that you will run hard after Christ no matter where he is leading you. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, know that Jesus has led you there for your good. And though you may not be able to see what that good is, though you may not be able to see with physical eyes what it is that God is producing or working or why he's molding you or where it is that he's eventually taking you, then know and trust that it is for your good. And know that it is for your good because he demonstrated his love for you on the cross. Trust him. Continue to follow. Don't shrink back. Don't throw away your confidence. Continue to move forward. However, for others, you've heard the call and you've refused. Christ has said, follow me, come after me. I want to give you new life. I have a plan and a purpose for you, and you have rejected that call. Or maybe this morning, there might just be one here who has never even heard the call of Christ. You've never heard that the Son of God wants to give you life. My prayer for you this morning is that you will look to the cross of Christ and see the love of God that was demonstrated there for you, and you will turn from your sin and you will say yes to Jesus. See, every one of us, no matter who we are, at some point in our life has said no to the call. But we have looked at God and we have said, I do not want you in my life. The rebellion of our heart is what the Bible calls sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death and eternal separation from God. And yet God in His love and His mercy has provided the means by which we can be saved, saved from His wrath. And so instead of pouring out His wrath on you, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked a perfect life. He was perfectly obedient to the law. He was without sin, so He didn't deserve to die. Yet He went to the cross and He was murdered because God was in that moment pouring out His wrath on Christ. Christ was taking your place. And after 3 days, Christ resurrected from the dead, showing that He had defeated sin and death. And now He offers you salvation. He says to you this morning, one who is in rebellion against God, will you turn from your sin and will you turn and follow me? To follow Christ means that you're going to put your faith and your trust in Him. You cry out to God and you say, I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I want to turn away from my rebellion against you. And I am trusting that the sacrifice of Christ took my place, that His blood that was shed will cover my sins, and that His resurrection will give me life. I am giving myself to Him, trusting Him as Savior and calling Him Lord. In other words, He now has control. He has authority in my life. If you will do that, the Bible says this morning that you will be saved. We want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus this morning. In just a minute, we're going to have a time of invitation. An invitation is exactly what it sounds like. I'm inviting you to respond to the call that Christ has on your life. He's telling you this morning, come, follow me. Follow me, be my disciple. Give me your life and I will give you new life, life abundant. So we're going to bow our head and close our eyes, and then Pastor Casey will come. He'll begin to play. And on the first note of the first chorus, you slip out from where you are. You come forward. You say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I'll be standing down front. We have counselors who will take you step by step through that process of salvation. They will show you from the Word of God what it means to be saved. You come this morning. Maybe God has laid on your heart that this is the place you want to plug in. This is the place you're going to use your gifts and abilities. You come this morning. Counselor will take you step by step and how you can know, how you can be a part of Faith Family Baptist Church and be a member here. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Come to the altar and cry out to God. Or maybe you want someone to pray with you, to walk with you as you struggle in this life, as you struggle to follow Christ. Listen, Christ didn't say, follow me on your own. He said, follow me. And then He enjoined us with a body of believers so that we could encourage one another and exhort one another. You want someone to walk with you, to pray with you, you come. And someone would gladly pray with you. If you need counsel, we have biblical counselors. Someone would gladly counsel you. But whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, you respond. Will you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? As we cry out to God for Him to move in this time of invitation, Lord God, we just pray that You would do the work that only You can do in this moment. Father, we're trusting You right now that You have brought us to this point so that You would show Yourself to be faithful and true, and that You are doing a work in the lives of men and women all over this auditorium. And so, God, we don't want to do anything that would distract from that. As a matter of fact, we want to join with You. We want to do whatever is necessary so that you will continue your work now. Well, this isn't about Faith Family. This isn't about any one person. This time of invitation is about you. All of us all over this auditorium responding, either in our seats or as we come forward, to what you have displayed to us today. Father, in this time, as we examine our own hearts, as we ask ourselves, who are we trusting? Who are we following? Who is our life running after? I pray the Holy Spirit would convict and then would give boldness as you call us to respond. We pray all of these things to your glory and to your honor and to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.